So let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank you again for this time and opportunity to be here. And Lord, as we begin to think about who you are and what you have done for us, and Lord, what you have given to us with the subject of prayer, that Lord, we would take these things that we are looking at this morning, and Lord, we would truly meditate upon them, contemplate them, and realize the importance of our prayer life to you. Lord, I thank you again for all that you have done for us. And Lord, we cannot give you enough thanks for the salvation and forgiveness of sins we have. Can I give you enough thanks for the home in heaven that we have in you? And Lord, we cannot give you enough thanks for just being able to meet here today and have a time, Lord, where we worship you by learning about you and your will for our life, that you may be glorified and magnified in our life that you have bought for us. And thank you again, Lord, for those that are here. Pray this time is honoring. And this I ask in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So we finished up with the book of 2 Corinthians last week. And we're looking at another series, and there's going to be a few lessons in regards to it, but I want to ask the question, when you turn your Bibles to the book of Philippians, why pray? I mean, if God is God, why do we pray? What's the purpose of prayer? How do we pray? I mean, even the disciples asked that, right? And if we are truly students of the Word of God and we truly desire the Lord in our life and we want to have that relationship, we understand that communication is key, right? No communication survives silence. It's dangerous. And again, that is one of the key things that the devil always tries to take out. Now, again, we'll talk about this a little bit later on, but it's also part of the armor of God. While there are the physical parts, there's also the part, you can have the best equipment in the world, but if you don't have the right mind frame for it, it doesn't matter. I mean, we've been taught that in wars repeatedly throughout man's history. And we find that there is prayer that is connected to the word, to the armor of God. But we're going to try to answer this question today of why pray. What's the purpose of prayer? In Philippians chapter 4, and in verse 6, it says, be careful for nothing. Sometimes we care about a lot of stuff. Sometimes we worry about a lot of stuff. And the Bible just told you, don't. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I think this is a great verse to begin to just launch a study and a series on what we're talking about with prayer. I mean, right there he said, look, if you're troubled with anxiety in your life that is not being managed biblically in your thought processes, it's going to cause you unrest. And the way that we get peace in our life and the way that we wind up, stop worrying about things and stop having this uncontrolled anxiety is very clear right here. We go to the Lord in prayer. We go to the Lord in prayer. Prayer is a very unique thing that is there. And now, look, I know the world talks about prayer and they have no concept of what prayer is. They think God is just, is like the federal government, just waiting to give out handouts. They think that he's like a vending machine. If I say the right way and do it the right way, I'm going to get what I want. But they don't understand prayer. As believers, we should understand prayer, amen? This is something that is critical in our life as a believer. It is critical in our life as a believer. So the simplest answer to why pray is we pray because God has ordained prayer as the means by which we, his children, believers, depend upon him, fellowship with him, and participate in his work. Prayer is that. That's why we pray. So we were looking at three things this morning. And again, the first part that I want to address is that dependency. We pray because we need God. I don't know about you, but I need God. I've lived with Ken Stewart for a long time. And I realize Ken Stewart's got a lot of failings. And Ken Stewart messes up a lot. And Ken Stewart is not really good at managing things. But God is. You know what I need? I need God. I need, you know, we pray because we need God. Prayer is, if you will, is a confession of dependence. We are, the world will teach you need to be independent. No, you need to learn to be dependent. You know, we start talking about the whole codependency thing and, you know, talking about, you know, in psychological terms and really twisting the things that God has put out there into, you know, they try to create it and say it's a lie. But I will tell you this, we have to be dependent upon God. We have to be dependent upon God. Even in the garden, Adam was dependent upon God. In perfection, he was dependent upon God. And it was his voice that was walking with him in the garden. If you will, a form of prayer that we find. Turn over to the book of John in John chapter 15. In John chapter 15 this morning. John chapter 15, and we're going to take a look at verse 5. I'll tell you, another great study, and the reason why I talk about things like this, I'm just going to get off on a little soapbox here just for a moment. Bear with me. I'm going to speak as a fool. The reason why I say, hey, this is a great study, I don't say that for the sake of saying it. I say it for the sake of giving you an idea for you to something to think about and to study, because we're all commanded to study. I've had people come up to me and go, well, how am I supposed to study the Word of God? What do I study? Here you go. Here's an idea. Here's something to study. Study the Last Supper and what Jesus talked about at the Last Supper in the last few chapters of John. You will find out some amazing things about what Jesus Christ said at that Last Supper. Now, again, it's not covered all of everything that he said in that the other Gospels. John covers it in great detail about what he said. But in John chapter 15 and in verse 5, he says, I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. We talked about this when we were talking about the vine last week, about the name of Christ. But what this says very clearly is we are dependent upon God. If you are not in Jesus Christ, what you do accomplishes nothing. If you are an unsaved, not born again person, then I will be very clear, your life is going to amount to nothing. I don't care what you build, what legacy you set behind, but it's all going to burn. But what we do know is that if we are in Jesus Christ, there is something that is worth, that is eternal, that will abide forever. And he says, look, in order to do that, you need to be in me. He has to be in me. I have to be in him. All of these things. And we begin to realize that prayer begins with a recognition that we are not sufficient in ourselves. Prayer teaches us we are not sufficient in ourselves. We pray because we know we can't handle it. Amen? We pray sometimes the Peter prayer. Lord, save me. Sometimes more frequently than not. Sometimes it's the Nehemiah prayer that we don't really say much, but all we do is we go, oh, Lord, I don't know what to say. Help. And he guides our words, guides our, what we're, you know, all of those things. These are things that we, but what it does is prayer begins with a recognition that we are not sufficient in ourselves to do things. Look, we need God for wisdom. Amen. It says that over in James chapter 1, verse 5. James chapter 1, verse 5 says we need wisdom. We need God not only for wisdom, but we need God for strength. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. We need God's grace in our life. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. We need God for provision. Matthew chapter 6, verse 3. Look, your provision can end like that in a heartbeat, even if you think you're able-bodied. You ever been sidelined where you're laying in a hospital bed for a long period of time? I'll tell you, it's a real joy. Note the sarcasm on that. You need God for provision. Everything in your life. That's why we ask God to bless, and we thank God for the food that He gives us. It's not just ritual, folks. We need God for forgiveness and restoration, according to 1 John 1:9. And that works not only with the relationship with Jesus Christ, but it also works with each other. We also need God for peace, as we just talked about. I don't know about you, but I want peace in my life. We need God for that. Turn over to the book of Psalms and turn to Psalm chapter 12. Psalm chapter 121. Psalm chapter 121, and in verse 1, he says, I will lift up mine eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help. And he's not talking about coming from, like, you know, Mount St. Helens or something like that. He's talking about the hill of God, amen? The one that's in Zion, the one that's in heaven. Okay, this is where he's lifting up his eyes. And he says, my help cometh from the Lord. See, he clarifies, which made heaven and earth. We pray because we need help, right? We pray because we need God. We need Him for help. And the biblical principle that we find with this is that we find prayer is this outward expression of an inward dependence on God. It's how we show we are dependent upon God. It shows how we have to depend upon Him. Look, the question is whether or not we are dependent, okay? We are. That's not the question. We shouldn't even have that question in our mind. The question is, on whom are we depending? We talked about that this morning when we were talking about the way. Who are you depending upon? Are we depending upon ourselves? Oh, man, let's not. Are we depending on other people? Does that always work out? No. We depend upon God. Upon whom are we depending? That is the main question. Because we see here that prayer is how that believer acknowledges, Lord, I cannot do this without you. That's why he says, pray without ceasing. Because is there any moment of the day that you don't need God? I need Him just to hold my atoms together. I need Him on the subatomic level. But more than just the physical, I need Him every single day with every decision I make. I guarantee you, if you start thinking about it and you start praying before you make every single decision, it will be different. You're like, what do you mean? You get up in the morning, you get out of bed. Lord, what do I do first? You get that done, and then it's, Lord, what do I do next? Lord, how do I please you with my job? Lord, is this the right decision in my job? Lord, is this the right decision that I need to make in my life right now? Lord, how do I do this? Lord, what should I eat? Lord, how much should I eat? I'm sorry, I'm treading on Baptist theology there. Amen? Would that not change our lives just a little bit? Do we not see how much we are dependent upon God? We pray because we need God. We pray because the second point that I want to make here is we pray not only because we need God, but we pray because we need fellowship with God. Because of fellowship with God. And prayer is fellowship with our Father. We can really kind of state this a little more specifically as, and we pray not merely to receive something from God, but to draw near to God. Why is our prayer life always gimme, 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 gimme? Lord, fix this. Lord, fix that. Lord, fix what I messed up. Because you're great at fixing things. Where's our prayer life that says, Lord, I don't think I'm as close to you as I need to be. Lord, I want to be closer. I want to be like the Apostle John. Can I lay my head on you? How close can I get, Lord? Can I get closer? Where's that prayer? And these are things that we need to pray in our life. These are things that we need to make sure that when we're talking to the Lord, we understand that this is why we pray. You turn over to the book of James, James chapter 4. I mean, we've talked about this passage. This may be familiar to some of you. In James chapter 4, it starts off with a pretty brutal statement about why we have problems in our life. The problems that we have in our life is because of, us. But we get to verse 8, and he says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. But what do we find very clearly? He says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Lord, why aren't we praying that prayer of, Lord, show me how I can draw closer? Look, God already knows what we need, right? Matthew 6 talks about that. I mean, he Jesus Christ specifically says, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. He already knows what you need. Now, he does want us to come and ask, but at the same time, he already knows that, but how about we just have a prayer life where it's like, Lord, I just want to talk to you because I want to draw near to you. I want to talk to you about what I read this morning in your word. I want to talk about what it is that you're laying on my heart to do. Lord, I want to talk about those things. Look, prayer is not some ritualistic ABC 1-2-3 thing. We don't do liturgical prayers of just repeating the same thing over and over and over again, where it's vain repetition. We pray with heart. That's why we pray. Look, we begin to understand that prayer cannot merely be, kind of merely about informing God of what we need. God knows that. God already knows that. Prayer is about communion with God. Look, I'll give you an idea. Go over to Psalm chapter 95 real quick. Psalm 95. I'm not going to read all of these passages, but let's kind of to start with one, Psalm chapter 95. The believer comes to God to draw near to him. And one of the key things, in verse 6, Psalm chapter 95, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. There's a reason why we bow our heads. There's a reason sometimes why we get on our knees. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. You realize that that's all connected to worship? You're not worshiping God if you're not praying. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. We as believers come to God to worship Him. Psalm 100 verse 4 says, we come to God to praise Him. We know what 1 John 1, 9 says. We come to God to confess sin to Him where we failed. Psalm chapter 66 and verse 18 says something similar. We come to God to give thanks. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, does it not say that that is the will of God? I just want to stop there just for a moment because you talked about that over there in Philippians. It's a key to having peace in your life. A person that is racked with anxiety frequently that does not have peace probably does not have a prayer life that is focused on thanking God for things. I know of some folks that's what they do is they take time when they pray. They have like a day where they're like, I'm not asking God for anything. I'm just going to thank Him for who He is and what He's given. Well, we need to do that. And that's great. I'm not discounting that at all. We need to have that heart of thanksgiving. Our prayer should not just be about asking God for this. Look, this is me. This is how I was taught. This is what my parents taught me. Before you go to the Lord and you start off with, Lord, please help me with X, Y, Z. Lord, please help me with all of these things, items 1 through 10. I was told, before you even start doing that, why don't you just thank God for what you already have? That's key to peace, folks. Got unrest in your life? Start worrying about something? Start getting a little of that anxiety flaring up a little bit more than what you want. Now look, anxiety can be a good thing. Don't shirk away from it. It's not a bad thing that you need to expunge out of your life. God put it there for a reason. You got to know how to use it correctly though, amen? Yeah. Just like anger, just like fear, just like sadness, just like happiness. You got to know how to use it correctly. If you don't use it correctly, you're using it wrong, and it's going to cause you trouble, which is generally what happens. And the medication's not always going to help. Okay? I'll tell you this. Start thanking God for everything. Just say, Lord, thank you. Just start, I mean, if you don't know what to thank God for, you need to check some stuff out in your life. We come to God to give thanks. Psalm chapter 27, verse 8 says, we come to seek His face. When's the last time you said, God, I want to see your face? Now look, I know that we can't see God and live in this frame. We would die. There's a reason why we would die. But I want to be very clear with this. We come to the Lord to seek His face, and we find His face right here. We find His face in thinking about the things that He's already done, the blessings and the works that He's already done in our life. We come as a believer to God sometimes to just pour out our heart while we're there. Turn over to Psalm chapter 62 just again to see some of this. We come to just pour out our heart in such a way in verse 8. It says this, trust in Him at all times in Psalm 62:8. Trust in Him at all times. What's the definition of the word all? Okay. Ye people, pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Just pour it out. You know, I've done that before where I've been praying to God, and it's just to the point where I don't even know what to say, and I just start weeping. And it goes back to the dependency part. Because I need to pour out myself before I can be filled with what He wants to fill me with. Turn over to Psalm chapter 73. And I want you to see this here. We pray because we need fellowship with God. In Psalm chapter 73, verse 28. That's a good verse, amen. but it is good for me to draw near to God. It is never bad. It is never bad for you to get closer to God. I have put my trust in the Lord that I may declare all thy works. I mean, he tells you how to draw near to God. You put your trust in the Lord. You pour all everything out. You got nothing left in you to trust, so you're trusting solely in Him. You fill Him with all, or you fill yourself with all that. He fills you with all of that. Why? So that you can declare all His works, and you're giving thanks. Not only are you giving thanks to God, but you're giving thanks in your life. Like I said, one time we were at a business. I was working, and there was this situation where everything was going wrong, everything was going bad. We had one great win. We were excited about it, and everybody's like, yeah. And it just kind of just like popped out of me at a management meeting, popped out of me, and I just said, well, praise the Lord. Everybody just kind of turned and looked at me like, what? We wouldn't have been able to do that without Him. And yeah, there were a bunch of people that were unsaved. What do? We declare His works through our prayer life. So what do we see with this biblical principle? We see this, that prayer is not merely coming to God for His blessings, okay? Let's not just go to God for the blessings so that He can just give us whatever we want. That's not a relationship. That's something else. It's coming to the Lord because He is our blessing. We draw closer, that is the blessing. That is the blessed life. Not because we need something. Look, a child should not come to their father or their parent when he only wants money or food. Amen? That's not the way it's supposed to work. Yeah. The relation itself should be valuable. The child should come to the father because, and the parent because he knows that the parent loves him. Because the mom and dad love him. And he wants to come because he wants to share that love too. It's a relationship. And prayer is that privilege of the believer to enter into the fellowship with our Heavenly Father. Not to come and ask for everything, but just to come and say, Lord, I want to spend time with you. I just want to talk with you. The third thing that I want to talk about is why we pray. We pray because God has chosen to work through prayer. God has chosen to work through prayer. You know, prayer is participation in God's work. I want you to turn over to the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 36. You know, this is one of the most important questions. You know, we start thinking about it. Well, if God is sovereign and He's in control of everything and He can make us into nothing in like 2 seconds flat, right? Well, why does He need to pray? Or why does He need us to pray? Why in the world would we need to come to the Lord for anything if He already knows everything? If He's omniscient, and He's all-knowing, why? We come because God has ordained prayer as both the ends and the means by which He accomplishes His purpose. Take a look at what He says in verse 37 of Ezekiel chapter 36. God knows what they need. God knows what we need. Yet He still says this, thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock. He says, I want to do a work, but I want you to come and ask. I want you to come and ask. You know, God has done this for the way that He accomplishes His purposes. He's put this there for that reason. I mean, because you notice what he's talking about here. He says, I will do it, yet, I will yet be inquired of. Lord, will you do this for us? And his answer is going to be, yes, I will do it. God determined to accomplish something, but he also determined it for us that his people would pray concerning it. He wants us to pray. He wants us to pray. The other day, we had a memorial service here, and my prayer was, because I was delivering a salvation gospel component to the memorial message, was, Lord, just somebody. And somebody raised their hand that they trusted Christ as their Savior. You know, there's rejoicing in heaven because of that. So we think on these things and we begin to realize some things. The Lord still wants us to pray knowing exactly what's going to be there. Look, this doesn't compete with who God is. It is one of the ways that God says that through his purposes, he's going to accomplish it. And then one of his purposes is he says, I want you to pray. Look, this is how we consider this. Look, the gospel. Let's just take the gospel for an example. Okay, God has ordained salvation. Amen? He's given it to us. We know that it's there. But he's also ordained preaching of the gospel. Right? So what do we do? I mean, Romans 10:14, it says, how then shall they call upon whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? So he's talking about preaching. Amen? He's talking about going out and giving the gospel to somebody. And the Lord, you know, again, when it comes to the gospel, that's what he's saying. Look, I want you to go out and do it. Yes, you pray for it. Yes, you give all of that in prayer, but I want you to, or I'm going to give you all that, but I want you to pray. I want you to pray to see people saved. God brings the harvest. But Christ commanded prayer for the laborers. Matthew 9:38 says, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." He's the one that makes it grow. Amen. 1 Corinthians 3. If he's the one that makes it grow, he's the one that makes the increase. What does he want? He wants us to participate in that work by praying for it. By praying for it. We're missing out so much on the dependency of God and the fellowship with God that we realize that he's called us to work with him through prayer with him. And we miss the other two points because we don't do this one. Think about the ministry. Paul knew God was working. Paul knew that for a fact. But he still said, I want you to pray. 2 Corinthians 1:11, he says, ye also helping together by prayer for us. Even the church at Corinth, and we all know about Corinth, amen? We all know about how they got slapped around a little bit. They still prayed for Paul, and Paul knew it, and Paul heard about it. And he says, keep praying. You know what? He said, you helped with that. You realize you helped with a missionary overseas, the 20 and the one law firm that we help support. You pray for those. I guarantee you, you're helping in their work. That's how God has ordained it. That's how God has ordained it. So we find this principle. God has chosen to involve his people in his work through prayer. You know, sometimes it's not just hands-on. We do need hands-on. I mean, somebody's got to put the potluck together, amen? somebody's got to clean the church. Somebody's got to get up here and speak. Somebody's got to get up here and lead songs. Somebody's got to get up here and play the piano. Somebody's got to take care of the kids in the nursery. Somebody's got to do junior church class. There's ministry, right? But I will tell you all of this. He's very clearly chosen to involve his people in his work by prayer. You should pray for each one of those persons. To pray for each one of those things, if you will, the ministries within our ministry, within the ministry of the reconciliation. And again, we don't pray because God is helpless without us. It's not like God goes, oh man, you know, I forgot about that. Thanks for reminding me. That's not God. That's not how this works. It's not that. We pray because God, in His wisdom, has chosen to work through us through the prayers of His people. You ever had prayer answered? Isn't it cool? Don't you kind of get a little giddy about that? Don't you delight in that? You pray for something, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, hey, hell. We get surprised. We get surprised. Look, I'm a guy, I don't, you know, surprises? Yeah. I'm one of those, please don't, you know, I surprise things just kind of, I don't know. I don't do surprise parties for a reason. Surprises, sometimes I'm not a huge fan of them. But I will tell you this, I try not to get so surprised by God working that I forget to thank Him. Yeah. No, I prayed. I said, Lord, very recently, Lord, give me direction on what to do. I've got a couple of choices here, Lord. I don't know. I need You because I don't know. Guide my decision. If You've got to close the door, close the door. If You want me to go through an open door, open that door. Lord, whatever it is You want me to do, I need to know that answer, Lord. I can't do it. You know what? The Lord answered the prayer. And it was a bit surprising, but it was one of those things that when it happened, it was like, oh, Lord, thank You. It was a blessing. And God does that to help us, you know. He's the God of all comfort. You realize how comforting that is? It's an amazing thing when we think about that. So let's summarize what we just talked about. Why pray? We pray because we need God. Prayer is dependence. Amen? Prayer is dependence. Why pray? Because we need fellowship with God. We need to draw nigh to Him in our life. And prayer is that fellowship, as we talked about. We pray because God has chosen to work through prayer, and prayer is participation in the work of God. And some people are like, well, I really can't do much. I really can't do this anymore. My health is this, my health is that, my job is this, my job is that. Can you pray? Then you can do something, amen? Amen. You can do one of the most critical things there is about the work, is to pray. Is to pray. So what do we think about? What thought do we walk away with this morning? We pray because we need God. We pray because we desire fellowship with God. We pray because that's how He's chosen to accomplish His work, through the prayers of people. And again, we begin to realize that this is that prayer life, and our prayer life is not to attempt to persuade God, a reluctant God for that matter, to care about us. Some believers pray that way. But if we know the Lord and we know who He is, that's not Him. We don't have to persuade Him to care about us, to remind Him, hey, Lord, I'm here. Hey, did you forget me? I'm over here. No. No, He hasn't. Prayer is a privilege. Prayer is something we get to, that the Lord has given us to do, to come to God who already cares, who invites us, I want you to draw near. He doesn't keep us at an arm's length. You know, some people you keep at an arm's length in a relationship, right? I am sure glad God doesn't do that with me. Invites us to draw near. He commands us. He commands us to ask. Tells me, ask. 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 Come on, ask. He wants that. And He's chosen that way. To work, to show us His mighty hand, to give us comfort, to give us knowledge of Him. Even sometimes when the answer is no. So I want you to leave with this. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Prayer is not primarily about getting things from God. It's about knowing God, amen? It's about knowing who He is. That reliance and dependence upon Him. Depending on Him, being used of God for His work. All of those things. And I want you to see this. The verse that I alluded to, and we'll close with this, kind of leading into our thought process as we think more about prayer. And again, I would encourage you, pray about praying. You're like, that sounds weird. It's not. Pray that the Lord would give you the guidance and direction of what you need to pray for, how you pray in your life. Pray for this series. Pray for what we are going to see from the Word of God about prayer. And take a look at this, verse 18, Ephesians chapter 6. This is part of the armor of God, by the way. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Don't be praying, Lord, give that person what they deserve. That's a fleshly prayer, okay? Because if you're going to pray that, then you need to also pray, and Lord, when you give him what he deserves, I want you to give me what I deserve. If you're not willing to pray for one, you shouldn't be willing to pray. I mean, you don't understand what I'm saying, okay? But here he says, pray in the Spirit, right? It says, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Because we begin to realize prayer isn't just about us. Prayer will begin to unlock the doors of understanding of how we engage in other people's lives as believers and even as unbelievers that need salvation. And prayer is that key. Prayer is that key. So as we close, I want us to think about this. I want us to think about it. It's not about getting things from God. This series isn't to pray about how to manipulate God into giving you what you want. It's about knowing more about Him and how He wants us to come to Him with everything that we are. Because one of the keys of why we pray is because we are so dependent on God for everything. For everything. Let's stand. And as we close with a word of prayer, and we'll close with a hymn here shortly, I want us to think about this. What's our prayer life like? Do we know we need to work on it? Let's not just make it another project that we stuff in our garage, right? Let's make a determined, concerted effort to be a congregation that prays. That prays for one another. Look, we shouldn't have a situation where we as a congregation don't know who people are in this church. If somebody was to say, hey, can you pray for such and such? And you go, who's that? I think there's a problem. Pray. You know, the more we pray, the more we're going to see God working in our lives. The more He's going to reveal Himself to us. Young people, pray. The more you pray right now, the more you're going to see God working in your life, in the life of other people. Prayer is an important thing in this Christian life. God's ordained it for a purpose and a reason. And this is how we get involved in the work of God. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this time. Thank you again, Lord, for all that you have given to us. Lord, and as I said before, I don't think we can thank you enough. We could spend the whole rest of this day just thanking you for everything, including the little things and the big things. Lord, please work in our hearts to be Christians that pray, to be Christians that have a desire to commune with you, that we don't just take it for when we need it, or a certain time, or a certain this, or dare I say, Lord, we only pray over the food that we eat. But Lord, that we are believers that pray at every moment and opportunity that presents itself without ceasing. Thank you again, Lord, for those that are here. I pray, Lord, we'd meditate upon this and you'd use it, Lord, to change us into the vessels you desire us to be. And I ask and pray all of it in your Son's precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen.